What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks in 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
Okay, so it's been a couple weeks since we have done this. Life's challenges came our way, each of us having our respective ones in the last couple of weeks, but we are back on track and we are going to get back to doing this, Pucks in 7, on a more regular basis. Hope you missed us. We certainly miss doing this. And here we go again. Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash, and I will get this correct. Follow us on Twitter at Ryan M. Payton, at Victoria Matiash. You got to do your Instagram thing, because mine's at Pates RP, and I think you're Matiash Victoria, correct?
It's just the other way around.
Okay, other way around. Okay, that's what we do. Follow us as well, wherever you get your podcasts, all the outlets we're on there, and also on the Sirius XM app. We're going to do video next week. Early next week. So we're not going to do a video this week, but we're going to do, of course, the audio, as you probably know by now as you're listening to this. So much to get into. Maybe it's in a kind of a good thing, Vic, that we did this kind of break, because I don't know. When we last did the show, yeah, there was a lot to talk about, but it's been nuts. It's been nuts in the last couple of weeks.
Well, there's been teams that we thought were dead in the water that have somewhat turned matters around. And there were teams that were looking like they were dealing with their own challenges and now have absolutely torpedoed themselves. And of course, we're talking about the Edmonton Oilers. So the time we're talking right now is several hours after many people expected them to maybe earn a win against the worst team in the league.
I didn't.
At the time.
I didn't.
Okay. Fair enough. I thought there was a very good chance the Edmonton Oilers were going to beat the San Jose Sharks, just because this was an opportunity to get back on track. And frankly, on paper, on the ice, they are the superior team, but they didn't. They lost, and it was the most anticipated game in November you could imagine between the two worst teams in the league. I can't remember another time in history that I was so looking forward to and stayed up for.
That's telling, especially for you. Yeah,
to watch
that's telling.
A team with one win at the time and a team with two wins at the time to do battle to see how this was all going to play out, because we all knew the San Jose Sharks were not going to be good. We didn't expect them to be this bad.
No.
They were struggling, and then they pulled it off. And so now, where, Ryan Payton, do the Oilers go from here?
Well, the only place and direction they can go is up, but I don't see any of that happening in the very near future. San Jose, you mentioned about this game being the most anticipated game in the month of November. This has been the most anticipated game for weeks, because you kind of got the sense Edmonton was going in this direction. San Jose out of the get-go was absolutely dreadful. And the fact the Sharks have won two in a row, I said this week when I was on Sirius XM, I said that was the biggest game for Edmonton to date. And we know the changes they made in goal, Jack Campbell, poor Jack Campbell. We'll dive into that in a second. But Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid are extremely frustrated. Everybody's frustrated on that team. They can't score. Kenny Holland does not look like a genius whatsoever. They've lost confidence in themselves. McDavid's gone seven games without a goal. Seven games. When's the last time he's gone two, three games?
Okay, he's not healthy, though. If you watched game last night, he's not healthy. And the fact that when he got stripped early in the game by the puck by William Eklund, who's a rookie, by the way, with the San Jose Sharks, took it right off him, came in, and it was only a spectacular save by Stuart Skinner. It was the only reason that puck didn't go in the net. And I thought, okay, Skinner's on, now we're cooking. But you could just tell that's not the McDavid of old. He's not healthy. He says he's healthy. He absolutely is not. And that's a big factor, but it's not the only factor. They can't defend. They can't score. They look discombobulated. There's no energy. There's no energy in the corners. There's no fight for the puck. The Zetterlund goal from San Jose in front of the net. I mean, he could have had a picnic out there with the time and space he had.
Cup of coffee.
Where were the defenders? I'm not even talking about blue liners. Where was the center on that play?
Yeah, this is rock bottom, I think, for
what
Edmonton.
Did they do? What did they do? Do they fire the coach? Do they hire a sports psychologist? Do they leave it to the players? What did they do?
No, that is the easiest, I'm not going to say fix. That's the easiest move. The easiest move to make in any sport is to let go of the head coach because he can't fire the team, blah, 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 blah. I thought, to be honest with you, and again, this is Friday that we're doing this, and they lost on Thursday. I thought that they would have made a change on this Friday. And potentially by the time we're done this, maybe something is going to happen in Edmonton, but maybe not. I think you'll go through the weekend. And if things don't improve on the weekend, I think you have to pick. Because what there's also rumblings, too, that they're looking at a goaltender, obviously. They're not.
Ooh.
I know. They're not happy with Skinner. And Jack Campbell, again, I just want to say this quick thing about Jack Campbell. Wasn't his fault he signed that huge deal, 5 and 25.
Of course
good
not.
Good for him. Had a great season with Toronto the season before. Good for him. In the preseason, he was great, 3-0. Again, don't put stock into the pre, but he was still undefeated. Gave the number one spot. First game, terrible. He was sent down to the AHL. First game, 4 goals on 20 shots. So Jack Campbell, you want to talk about a sports psychologist or something. We know that his time in Toronto specifically, because we certainly watched more of him, he took things to heart. He did. He really did. I know a lot of guys do. A lot of goaltenders do. So I do feel for him. Anyway, to your point, where do they go? They just need a win. They just need one. Just get that feeling of, even if they play against each other, maybe they can't even beat each other. They divide their team up. But they just need one win. Now, is that going to happen soon? I hope it will, because you're right with McDavid. He's not healthy. He shouldn't have come back when he did. I'll be honest. He should not have come back when he did. Fine. You're young. You're talented. Best player in the game. Whatever. But it is a clear indicator that you're still not up to par. So I think, again, it's a lot easier said than done because they have not won in seems like years. They just need one win.
I think they need more than one in a row, to be perfectly honest.
Of course, yeah. But to start, it's just, okay, hey.
Seattle on the weekend would be great. That's going to be a huge help. What I would like to see them do is not fire the coach. Again, I think that's the easy fix. This, to me, this all lays at the feet of the players. The players are the ones who are much better than they're performing right now. I think they need to get together. I mean, looking at the body language of Leon Draisaitl after that loss to San Jose was just ridiculous.
Yeah.
This is a broken guy. And this is somebody who usually is very feisty with the media, has a lot of fight in him. And he was just absolutely busticated. And he said, everybody on the team is busticated. All right, you're paid very handsomely. I know you're still human beings, but you're paid very handsomely. Dig deep. Figure it out. If you need to speak to a therapist as a group, individually, whatever you need to do.
Yeah.
But I want them to leave it alone. I want these players to figure it out because they are better than what they're playing right now. Darnell Nurse is a mess. Like, he's a much better player than what we're seeing out there right now. And they're playing irresponsibly as well. We should wrap up the Oilers a little bit, but I think that's a direction I would like them to take.
I will certainly tell you this, that after the game against Seattle, that is the big game for the future of Woodcroft behind the bench. I'll just leave it at that. I think that's a lot of rumblings too with that. Anyway, what about the Alberta neighbors? Calgary heating up a little
bit. Some hockey.
Okay, it's really too bad we're not doing video because you just did like the Victoria jig. Oh, she's still moving. There you go. Take it away.
I'm not doing it if we're recording. So I know. It's just for you. But they're winning hockey games. And this is, I will say this, besides the couple of wins, the pair of wins, I should say.
Yeah.
They have pep in their scoring step back. Primarily Nazem Kadri, one of the leaders on that team. He's on a four game point streak right now. He's scoring, he's assisting, but he's got that little fire in his eye again. He's got that glint.
And he plays the best when he has that.
Of course, right? he has to have it. Yeah. And I know they're having issues with Jonathan Huberdeau, who was sat and benched for most of the third period in the last game that Calgary still won.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. Anyone who listened to us last year, I thought that the biggest issue with Huberdeau not playing well was because of the head coach, Daryl Sutter. And when Sutter was like, oh, Huberdeau did say, yeah, we didn't see eye to eye. We didn't get along. I don't like what happened with that. I don't. Now, if
I'm
he responds.
Absolutely fine with it.
You're fine with it.
Okay. And if he comes out on Friday night and scores a pair against Toronto, then obviously it worked.
Yeah, but what if he doesn't and then he's benched again?
I don't think he's going to be benched again immediately. I think the Huska sent him a message, and which apparently Huberdeau took very well and said, got you loud and clear. I'm fine with it. The point is the Flames look to be back on track. And what is also happening now, they've got a two game trip through Ontario. They're playing Toronto, yeah. and they're playing Ottawa. How pumped do you think Nazem Kadri is for those?
Are you kidding?
Games?
Oh my god! Oh my word! Yeah, absolutely. And he may take it over. He may take over the game in Toronto. He may take over the game.
But the rest of the team is pitching as well. The defense looks a lot more solid. The goaltending has been good. So I'm not saying Calgary's a playoff team. Now I'm not saying anything like that. But as opposed to the Oilers, because we were having the same conversation about these two teams 2 weeks ago. As opposed to the Oilers, the Flames look like they're on the upswing. And now they have a glorious opportunity against two teams in Ontario that give up a ton of goals right now. Both the Leafs and the Senators are porous.
Yeah.
So they can actually make some hay. They get some good goaltending. They could easily be 2-0. And now we're talking about them. Okay, maybe we need to start paying a little bit more attention to the Flames.
Yeah, and it's also going to be an interesting game because Brad Tree Living, right? He's now the GM of Toronto. So it's just kind of, not going back home, but seeing a lot of the guys that he probably put together for the Calgary Flames roster.
There's more than one connection for sure.
Oh, yeah, there is. And let's not forget, too, Calgary, it's not like they missed the postseason by 15, 20 points last year. They missed it by one. They just had to win the one goal game. So this is not a bad hockey team. So they're trending upwards. Edmonton still, well, they're trending down if they can actually continue to trend down. The other night, we've seen a few times this season some hits, which certainly are scary to watch. The Artturi Lehkonen one. That was a tough one to see. Very glad that he is okay. A lot of the discussion after that hit by Jamie Oleksiak, was there any malicious intent, anything like that? There was absolutely nothing. I just wanted to talk about it quickly because it just goes to show me again how quickly and how within an eighth of a second something could go terribly wrong. In the
we
fastest
should say
game.
Lehkonen ended up getting sort of tangled up with Jamie Oleksiak, who has almost a foot on him. Jamie Oleksiak is one of the biggest. We should say this is Colorado Seattle on Thursday night.
Right.
Jamie Oleksiak is huge. Artturi Lehkonen is not. He is a more diminutive hockey player. So I think it was one of those situations you got tangled up. He went into the boards head first. It was absolutely awful to watch. You're completely correct. He had to go to the hospital. We still don't know what his status is going forward, but he seems to be at least in life. Okay, and we'll just take it from there. I think it was an unfortunate set of circumstances.
Yeah, well,
this is still a very fast game. Oleksiak looked more surprised by it happening than anybody.
Yeah.
So I think that sort of takes away the fact that he wasn't trying to do anything malicious there.
No.
And so it was a very unfortunate, but again, it's a fast game, Ryan. These things are going to happen.
Yep.
So if so long as players aren't targeting each other or cross-checking them in the face or the neck or any of this baloney, scary baloney, then I'm all right that things are still going to happen. I think the players understand that what they've signed up for, there's always going to be this. It's so fast. They're so strong. So unfortunately, once in a while, we're going to see this.
Yeah, Jared Bednar said, got caught in a bad spot, ran into a big guy.
Yeah,
Oleksiak, 6'7", 257, 6'7", 257. Speaking of cross-checking to the face very quickly, the one I did not like, Ross Colton hitting Luke
Hughes. Quite a segue.
Well, it worked.
Speaking of cross-checking in the face.
Speaking of almost decapitating somebody.
Yeah, that was horrible.
I did not like the hit on Luke Hughes either. I didn't like that. That has to be eliminated from the game. Again, very lucky that Hughes did not hurt himself. And then he comes back and cross-checks Timo. Absolutely brutal, I thought, though, that just those two plays in succession, and I'm really glad Hughes didn't get hurt.
Absolutely, and he was only fined for that, if I remember correctly.
Come on, Vic.
Yeah.
You can't do that. If I was to do that to you on the street,
okay.
If I had a stick... Well, right. I'm just, okay, first of all, we do get along really well.
Okay, but no, if you would do it to anybody on the street,
right,
you would be in jail.
But the point is, you can't be using your stick like that. Oh, here's a little slap on the wrist with a fine. Come on, NHL, you need to do better than that. You really do.
I'm with you.
I don't think the Canucks can do much better than they're doing right now.
Do we now believe in the Canucks?
Yes, absolutely. I'll tell you, the one reason why is Thatcher Demko. That's my reason why I believe in this team. Goaltending, as everybody knows, is key. Last line of defense. You can't win without good goaltending. It's not one of these cases, too, where he just has to be good for them to win. He's been great. And from the get-go with him, he's had the talent for me to be one of the stars in the NHL, one of the top goalies in the league. But how good has he been? And the team's been great, too. Pettersson, MVP. At least,
He's in the conversation right now. I think he's leading. Isn't he now leading in points?
He is.
Okay.
Yeah, Quinn Hughes on the... They have the tools, and it's really nice to see what's happening. But I'm telling you, Thatcher Demko, to me, is the key to this this team right now.
I'm going to disagree with you slightly, although I'm not with the fact that he's played superbly, because he has, but Casey DeSmith also threw out a gem against Ottawa the other night. So I'm going to say this as well. And Casey DeSmith is not a goaltender we would usually talk about in the sphere of the greats in the game at the moment. He's fine. Right. There's nothing wrong with him, but he's not elite. I will say this right now. Rick Tocchet is coaching the hell out of this team. And defensively,
coach of the year. Coach of the year, mid-November.
He is in the conversation for the Jack Adams right now.
Sure,
I think that's without question.
Sure,
the way that they are playing structurally, defensively, and I'm not just talking about the defensive core as well. I'm talking about everybody on the ice.
Yeah.
I think the number of high danger shots those goaltenders are facing right now is very low. And that makes your job so much easier. Demko's been great. DeSmith, given his opportunities here and there, has also been very good. But it's been very much a team effort, and that is why I believe in the Canucks right now. And I didn't at the beginning of the season, and I will own that.
Good point with Rick Tocchet. First full season. We know what happened with Bruce Boudreau last year, the whole mess, that debacle kind of thing. But there's nothing wrong with Vancouver. If it wasn't for Vegas, who leads the division at 23 points, Vancouver would be tops in almost the entire league. They have 21 points. The Rangers have 21 points. The Bruins, which we'll get to, they still don't lose. They have 23. But Vancouver scored 59 goals, and they've allowed 26. That's a plus 33. Very impressive. Five in a row in the win column. Yes, we do believe in the Vancouver Canucks. Question for you. Going into the Winnipeg Jets, a little bit of that discussion. Is Kyle Connor is Kyle Connor one of the quietest superstars or star? I don't know if he's a superstar, but is he one of the quietest stars in the league that people maybe a night in, night out will think, oh no, but then they'll look at the stats and think, wow, where did that come from? He does not get as much recognition. He is so good.
He is very good. And I remember at the beginning of this season, and probably he probably doesn't. He's a bit of a quiet guy too, which
very quiet, I think very quiet.
And playing in a market like Winnipeg as well. I mean, if he played in New York or LA or Toronto, I think he would garner a lot more attention. But Winnipeg is still a smaller market. Beyond that, I remember at the beginning of the season, he was off to a slightly slow start.
Yeah.
And everybody, what is wrong with Kyle Connor? And then in the last few days, he just can't stop scoring.
Yeah.
And how much fun is Alex Iafallo having on that top line right now going, I don't need to go back to LA.
Nope.
I like it here.
I'm good.
He's he collected 4 assists the other night, just being in the right place at the right time, taking nothing away from him. He's a good hockey player, and he's fitting in well with Mark Scheifele and Kyle Connor on that top line. But at the same time, the Jets are humming again. I think they've won 3 straight, and you're now seeing, even in the arena, more bums in seats because the Jets fans are like, okay, this doesn't feel doom and gloom. Let's get back to it. And also, it's quiet out of Winnipeg right now. A couple of weeks ago, it was loud because it's not just the media, it's the fan base as well. Canadian markets are tough. And if you're not performing well, you're going to hear it. Vancouver, I still think, takes the cake. Maybe besides Toronto, Montreal too. I don't know if there even is one. Vancouver to me is still top of the list in terms of hard fans to please. And
Edmonton's not far behind.
You could say it about all of them, I suppose.
Yeah.
But Vancouver has an edge to me. But in general, when things are going good, it's very quiet. And it's very quiet in the Winnipeg market right now. And good for them.
You see what I did there? I was quiet.
Oh, there you go. I'm like,
yeah. So again, if we had video, hello, you're next. I thought that was kind of good. Anyway, Winnipeg, sixth in the NHL at 3.6 goals per game, which is amazing. So good on them. A couple of key games, too. Big game two against Dallas coming up on Saturday. Mm-hmm. That's a big test. Then they have the Devils on Tuesday. Scheifele, good to see him. 16 points. Hellebuck has the GAA under 3. Save percentage still going to go up at time, but still, it's kind of early
on. He's only been all right. And I think that, again, speaks to how the Jets are playing.
Everyone,
I think Hellebuck has been fine, but he hasn't been. We're not talking about him for Vezina right now.
No.
He's just been fine.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. When you're winning, who cares?
Nashville, 37 goals for.
I can't even.
So what do you do? We talked about Edmonton. It's terrible, but I'm not saying it's a disaster in Nashville. It's not, but you can't score.
Well,
37. You can't score.
I don't know if I would mind as much, except we were so pumped up over the summer with Andrew Burnett coming in as a new head coach. And we're going to, with this offense, we're kicking it into a next the next gear.
You know,
the Predators have always been more of a defensive first team. And now we're going to change that whole culture here. And right now, Philip Forsberg is sort of scoring. Ryan O'Reilly is sort of scoring. And nobody else is really pitching in diddly squat. And this Predators team is in trouble. They're very quietly in trouble. They're not garnering the attention of the other train wrecks in the league like the Oilers or San Jose to a degree, but they can't score every night in and night out. I feel bad for UC Saros. I'm just like, dude, you're not getting any support out there at all. And they got to fix something now, because whatever this new offensive outlook was supposed to look like, it ain't looking like it. And it's not effective whatsoever. On the flip side, I don't want to give the Preds too much time because it's a little bit depressing and we can always just say they don't score. It needs one sentence. On the flip side, why can't the Minnesota Wild defend? What's going on there?
The only team that's allowed the more amount of goals is San Jose at 58. So Minnesota's allowed 53. Just a quick thing on Nashville, and then we'll go to Nashville. Minnesota, Andrew Burnett, do you think anything has to do with him kind of getting to know the team, the players, the lines rolling, finding the chemistry? I don't know. I'm just asking.
Game six, I'll give it to you.
Okay. I just wanted to throw it out and see.
I think it's personnel. Yeah. I just don't think they have. Remember the free agent market, Ryan? We did podcasts during that period. We're like, Nashville's not doing anything.
No, I know. Yeah, they were quiet. Yeah, they got Ryan O'Reilly. Yeah.
And he's fine, but he's fine. Come on.
I know.
There's no supporting cast there at all when it comes to putting the puck in the net. And if you want to try that, otherwise you just got to change your whole character and you become a defensive team again, because right now this ain't working.
To the point about Minnesota, they can't defend. The goaltending has been very suspect. Filip Gustavsson, I looked at some of the numbers, October 12th all the way to the 4th against the Rangers. I mean, some games he's allowed 7, 5, 4, 6, 5, 3. First game on the 12th against the Panthers, he had 41 shots against, didn't allow a single goal. But you can say that they can't defend, but you can also say the goaltending has been terrible.
I think the defense is more to blame.
Okay, so the defense.
I've watched a fair bit of Minnesota. And I do think that the defense out front, and it's not just waiting for Jared Spurgeon to come back, which thankfully for the Wild, they're getting back relatively soon. It even sounds like maybe this weekend, but it can't be one guy. But if you're looking at their core right now, Brock Faber, he's an interesting young guy coming up. He's interesting and exciting to watch. That's great. Defensively, he's not fantastic. Does anybody know who Dakota Mermis is?
No.
This is one of their top six defenders. So this is a team that used to, again, build themselves around defensive hockey, and they're going to get their scoring up front because they do have scorers up front. But at the same time, it's just something needs to be fixed there. They need another body in there fast, or again, they need to change their identity as well, because that's one of the most mind-blowing things to me to start this season is how incredibly generous the Minnesota Wild have been to oppositions. It's just, it's mind-blowing. It's absolutely mind-blowing to me. And
so much
Bogosian is not your solution either.
Yeah. So much so you almost knocked the mic off your table.
Yeah, I did, actually.
I know you did. I heard the thump. The only saving grace for Minnesota is that they're playing in the Central, because it's not that huge of a gap between 1 and 8. There's only 7 points. If they were in some other division with Vegas or Boston, Vancouver, you name it, the Rangers, it would be a lot worse. But I'm with you. 4 goals per game. That's what the team is allowing on a nightly basis.
The Central really does stink, eh?
It's like, terrible.
Really?
It's terrible.
When you look at it, I mean, you've got Stars, Avs, and Jets are fine.
Yeah.
The rest of them, Coyotes are at least giving it a go when we didn't expect much from them. But
you've got Nashville in last place at 5-8. So they're 5-8 and they're in last place. They have 10 points. So it's not like they're not completely out of this thing. Minnesota's not out of this thing. I don't know. No one's running away with that division. Maybe it will happen at some point. Only time will tell. I'm sure it will. We talked about Dallas playing great hockey. Of course, one of the Stanley Cup contending teams. How about the Pacific? We talked about Vancouver, Vegas. They've only 2 regulation losses, 1 OT loss. The Kings have only 2 as well, 19 points, 23 points respectively. They are humming. This whole Stanley Cup hangover thing, I never buy it with any pro team that wins. Well, you don't have a hangover enough. You're fine. It's complete. Maybe years ago when you won and guys didn't take care of themselves, you're fine. It's nice to see, especially for me, it's nice to see the Kings off to such a great start.
They're an exciting hockey game They're an exciting hockey team to watch as well. Every time they played Pittsburgh last night, and that was a very good hockey game. You didn't need to be a fan of either team. It was just raucous and fun. And they lost it, but it was still very close. And the Kings, I really like those three teams that you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas, Vegas, and Los Angeles.
Yep.
I think they're going to be consistently good. Like, I'm still sitting here. I'm not saying we just talked that we believe in Vancouver, but these teams are who we thought they were.
Yep.
Right? And so with all the other surprises going on in the NHL, it's a little comforting.
It is. And defensively, we talked about Minnesota not playing well defensively, but the Kings are playing incredibly well defensively. All of the top six on the blue line have at least 4 points in 12. You may not think that's a lot, but when everybody has four points in 12, everybody is doing it. That is very
good. It's huge team effort.
Three of the D-men have five or more. And what about Cam Talbot? 7-2-1. Cam, hey, Rob Blake, you look like a genius. 7-2-1, 2.02 goals against, .930 save percentage, a one-year contract at $1 million. What do you say? They call it a bargoon, at least for now.
We'll see how long it lasts. I still think.
Okay. You don't think so, huh?
I've watched Cam Talbot for too many years to be lulled.
Okay. That's fine. But have we watched Cam Talbot behind a team like this? In recent memory?
Not in recent memory.
Okay.
In the past, but not in recent memory. So, no, he's doing great. Fantastic. Keep it going. And I still don't think that we can write off Phoenix Copley quite yet.
No, we won't.
So, he hasn't played as well. Not nearly as well. But we'll see how that... But this is a very, very, very good team. And thumbs up to Trevor Moore as well. He's having a heck of a season and good for him.
California may not be good for the Sharks, but it's good for the Kings and it's good for the Ducks. This is a real surprise for me. That Anaheim is playing as well. Four goals or more in five of the past six wins. Kings, again, they're playing well too, which we just talked about. Are you surprised that the Ducks? Because I had them near or at the bottom of the Western Conference standings. There's a long way to go, totally get it.
I've been
pleasantly surprised, and kudos to the team so far.
They're a fun young team to watch.
Yeah.
I love Mason
McTavish. And that's the key, fun and young.
I love Mason McTavish. I love the whole way he plays the game. I think he's super fun to watch. Yep. And they're doing this actually without Trevor Zegras contributing. He only has a couple points on the season, if you can believe it, which is very not Trevor Zegras-like. And he's going to snap out of that. I just remember there have been too many seasons in recent memory where the Ducks have gotten off to such a hot start. They have. And then... I don't know. They just run out of gas early. And I'm starting to see a little bit of that already. The loss to Pittsburgh the other night appeared a little uninspired to me. I think we're
inspire you every game.
But I want to be inspired. They're starting to lose their glow.
Vic's the coach behind the bench.
They're starting to lose
inspired
me. They're starting to lose their glow to me a little bit. We'll see. We'll see, but I'm just saying right now, they're starting to look more, kudos to the start, it was great. They're 6-4 in their last 10, Ryan, like it's not outstanding. But we're starting to see the shine come off a little bit, and we'll see, because they're still very young. They're still very young.
Hold on. So the Ducks beat Columbus, then they beat Boston, then they beat Philly, then they beat Pittsburgh, then they beat Arizona, then they beat Vegas, and now they lost to Pittsburgh. How can the zest be off the lemon with that?
It's just the way it looked.
It's one game.
The Vegas game was weird too. So was the Boston one.
Okay. So Vic needs an undefeated streak of 82-0 to start the season.
I don't trust the Ducks. I don't trust the Ducks. Okay. I still think they're too young.
Connor Bedard. Man, guy's great. Two goals. The times that they played Boston, I saw this kind of an ISO thing the other night, where Brad Marchand would get in his face. Not get in his face, but there was one time where the puck was in the zone and Marchand, it was like an icing or something and the ref was going to blow the whistle. Marchand just stood in front of Bedard on the boards. He didn't touch him. He just didn't move. And then he tried to get under his skin with the stick and all that type of thing. But give credit to him. Ton of pressure on him. He had two goals the other night, so I love what I see from him.
I think if you're that Chicago team, you got to bring the mums on every trip right now.
Oh my gosh.
Every road trip. They looked fantastic the other night.
So, well, yeah, I mean,
but Bedard is turning into, he's not disappointing us at all. He's not lighting it up ridiculously. It's not like he's scoring every single night.
And that's fine.
And that is fine. But he is, again, going to fall back on it. He is what he thought he was going to be. And good for him. If only somebody else on that Blackhawks team could score.
I know.
Watching Taylor Hall go down the other night, you're like, no, not again, because he would be the other guy I'd look to do that.
That looked bad. That looked bad.
The rest of that team just doesn't pitch in enough. They're not expected to win anything. And Bedard's able to do what he does best. So it's definitely a glimmer of hope for the Chicago fan base. And I think that's all they're asking for right now.
I know this happened a little while ago, and as we hit the break, but certainly our thoughts to the family of Adam Johnson, who passed away with the skate to the neck, that ugly incident. I'll just leave it at that. Hockey players have been very stubborn, and that's one word to use when it comes to neck protection. I think neck protection should have been in the league a long time ago, and I think it should be in the league starting yesterday.
Right.
I just don't. I'm not a pro athlete. And I played sports a long time. And I do understand the notion of, oh, that equipment, that piece doesn't feel good on me and that all this type of nonsense. But you can get, I'm sure there's some manufacturer or something out there that you can put something around your neck, even like a Thomas Plekanec kind of thing. Wear that undershirt, put a neck thing in it that will not make you feel like it's restricting your movement or something. This is about lives. And what we saw the other night, Vic, or I didn't see it live, but we heard about
right.
it. That could happen. I'm surprised that stuff does not happen more often.
I hated wearing a neck guard when I played in my team.
I didn't like it either. But back then what? They were huge.
First of all, technology has come a long way.
Yeah.
What the biggest complaint from the players is right now is that it's hot.
Okay.
It's too hot. But here's my thing.
Yeah.
Everything is uncomfortable until you get used to it.
Right.
Seatbelts in cars. I remember my father's like, they're not telling me to wear. And then 2 weeks later, he wore a seatbelt every single day for the rest of his life.
Right.
That we went through this with helmets. We went through this with visors. If everybody has to do it all at once, you're all in the same boat. Everybody's a little bit uncomfortable. And then a month later, you're not even going to think about it. It will be part of your routine.
Put it in.
And don't grandfather it either.
Just
do it. Once and for all.
I will say this. I respect Wayne Gretzky, but he said grandfather it in. And I do not agree.
I'm not on board with that.
Do not agree with that. They should have been in years ago. Clint Malarchuk, that awful incident all those years ago with Buffalo. Anyway, I do hope the NHL, the PA come to terms on something and increase the safety in what is a really, really hard game. We'll take a break. We will come back. We'll go east. Take a look at that. And also the Hockey Hall of Fame. We'll dive into that too as the induction ceremony starting early next week. Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash. We will be back.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
He is Ryan Payton, and I am indeed Victoria Matiash, and this is Pucks and Seven. We just flew through the east in our... No,
we didn't. We
flew through the west.
And I was going to say, we didn't fly through the west. We strolled.
We took our time. Through the West.
We paced.
In our first segment.
Look, there's a ton to talk about. Okay,
there's a ton to talk about. But now we're going to fly through the East, and maybe we'll keep this a little bit zippier. And we're going to start with a team that I don't think anybody is talking about enough in the East, and that is the New York Rangers, and specifically one player, Artemi Panarin, has not played a single game this season without registering a point.
Yeah.
We're not talking about, I believe, it's not in front of me, and you can correct me, I believe he has 22 points so far in 13 games, but he has not once failed to dent the score sheet to start this season. He, along with Pettersson in Vancouver and other figures, deserves to be in the heart conversation all the while. And this Rangers club is off to a smoking start. And again, we're just not talking about it enough. Why?
We're not. I think the reasons are, number one, Edmonton's garnering a lot of the headlines. Boston, which we'll get to in a second, they're winning yet again. The Pacific Division is great up top. Vegas, the LA Kings are playing well. Vancouver. I think with the Rangers, you kind of just go with what you see, and they don't. I don't know. I'm not surprised that they're not making headlines, and I think that they're fine with it too. If you were to ask them, they're fine with it. You mentioned Panarin, 13 straight points, 13 straight games with at least a point, which is absolutely incredible, and. Artemi Panarin to me is one of those play. Okay, so here's my question to you, and I was just going to mention what I thought about Panarin. Do we talk about Panarin enough, or do we need to talk about him more in general?
No.
Okay. So same kind of thing. So we don't talk about the team as much, and we don't talk about Panarin as much. Maybe now we will. They're off to a smoking start, as you said. One guy, too, I want to point out, Alexis Lafreniere. I was on him last season. I really was on the podcast. And even in the offseason, I thought, you know, they got to get rid of him. Not the right fit. Look, it may change, but it's really nice to see him, the former number one overall pick, doing what he does. But the team is being led by Panarin, everything else, but it's good to see.
Everybody's playing well. They're 10-2 and 1, and they've got banged up goaltending. Domingue won a game the other day. Like, that's not what you... Yeah, Louis Domingue. It's not what you would expect. They've got banged up goaltending.
Now,
Adam Fox is out, and they've had to manage already three games with Adam Fox, and they're managing fine.
Yep.
So it's funny to me because this is not a small market team. This is the Big Apple, baby. Usually you're not talking about the Rangers if the Rangers are doing anything. But under Peter Laviolette, working out nicely so far. You can't complain about that coaching change to start this season.
No,
they are
you can't.
Off to a torrid start, and I think we need to tip our caps a little bit before moving on.
I agree with that, but you said Big Apple, and it's Broadway, so maybe that's why they don't talk about the Rangers as much, because there's so much going on a nightly basis.
That's not
there's
true.
Plays. I'm just kidding.
No,
I'm trying to put something out there as to why. They're not talking about them. Anyway, the Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what they did last year? An incredible run. They were down to the last shot by Marchand in that game against the Bruins, but they translated that into a Stanley Cup final appearance. They're heating up.
They're 7-2-1.
They're heating up.
They're 7-2-1.
Yeah.
And they are 7-2-1 without their top two defenders in Aaron Ekblad and Brandon Montour.
Right.
Who are
close
back
to, yeah, yeah.
Like 2 to 3 weeks, within 2 to 3 weeks, maybe even sooner as a surprise, because the teams are always coy about that.
Sam Bennett too.
Sam Bennett as well.
Yep.
So they're 7-2-1. Bobrovsky has looked good. The rest of the team has looked good. And they're going to get back their two top defenders. So look out. Florida might be making some moves up their own division in the near future. And I also I like the way they play. I've always had a soft spot for them. I like the way that they play. And 7-2-1 your last 10. And again, that's a little quiet too. I don't think that's garnering all that much attention either.
Yeah, you do have a soft spot for them.
I do.
How many text messages did I get in the playoff run last year of that jersey, which I can't stand? Yet it looks good on you. So
thank you very much. I love the palm tree.
I know. I'll tell you what team does not look good. And if they think that they can play games with, they score 8, they give up 6, or they score 6 and they give up 4, or hold on a second, they tied the game last time against Ottawa 3-3, and then they gave up 3 more. They lost 6-3.
We can only be talking about the Maple Leafs.
Yep. For years, Vic, the discussion among so many things in Toronto has been the lack of defense on the team. It's abysmal. I'll leave it at that. It's abysmal. Where do you go from here when it comes to that? Do you make a change? I don't know what you do. Because they don't have a balanced scoring at the moment either. But the defense is a huge, huge thing. John Klingberg, the team is rallying behind him. To a man after practice, they said, look, we know he's struggling. Sheldon Keefe is, pointing him out. But I'm telling you, it's got to improve.
This defensive core can't be one Timothy Liljegren away from falling apart, because it seems like as soon as Timothy Liljegren got hurt, everything just went to shambles. And that's just not how this should work. And now it's just come in that John Klingberg is out with an undisclosed injury.
Okay. Interesting.
It is interesting.
Yeah. So what are you saying?
Undisclosed injury?
What are you saying?
Is he suffering from lack of effort? What's the ailment? I don't want to make light of it, because he could genuinely be hurt.
No.
Right?
Yes.
It's just the fact that this has, and people have been piling on, media fans have been piling on John Klingberg, and actually justifiably so to a degree.
Yes, I agree.
I don't like the rambunctiousness and the maliciousness that is shown, especially defenders in Toronto historically. I mean, Toronto fan base just eats their own, especially if they play on the blue line and they're not rough and tough and members of the lunch bucket crew. If there's any type of elegant defender who isn't putting up massive points in Toronto, they are eaten alive in this market. And that's just been, that dates back decades.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. We've been talking about that as long as they haven't won the cup. So we're going to go back.
He also hasn't been very good.
I understand.
Hasn't been very good. And if he's going to be a slight defensive liability, with John Klingberg has been his entire career, lit it up with Dallas, he's never been that one that you're going to rely on in that way, then he better put up some points. And he's not putting up points either.
No.
So you have to do one or the other. And he's doing neither right now. So if he is banged up, And he very probably is. If he is banged up, maybe that's part of it. And he can take some time away from the rink and try and fix it.
Yep.
But I still don't think that's the only problem. Mark Giordano is old and slow. And the rest of them are just trying to pick up the pieces. And I think they need another body in there. I don't know where you get one from right now. I mean,
I don't know
where you get one, but it's right now. It's not, it's looking a little bit dire. Like, we just had the Leafs punch through to the playoffs as an auto, right? And now I'm starting to wonder, are they a playoff team?
No, they are. They are a playoff team.
Okay.
They'll figure it out. But the numbers certainly don't equate to that. 17 goals in the past three games that they've allowed, which is absolutely terrible. They got to figure it out. We'll see. They take on Calgary, so we'll see if they can get back on track.
I don't know how that's going to go.
Yeah, I don't know either. Well, we talked about Naz Kadri, right?
Hat trick? Yeah. Okay.
Naz Kadri with the hattie. We'll see what happens.
Or he's getting ejected. One of the two.
Yeah, one of the two, because a lot of people remember him for the bonehead plays he made, but a lot of people do remember for the good stuff
he's
that he did.
Such a skilled player, my goodness.
I know he is. Freddie Anderson, certainly thinking about him, right? With the blood clots and et cetera, he's out for an extended amount of time. Who knows? But that's a tough one. But that puts a real kink in the Carolina Hurricanes goaltending situation right now.
If Antti Raanta could stay healthy
consistently,
this would not even be a conversation.
No. So, yeah, I agree.
But he can't. And historically, he can't. And I'm not being mean. I'm talking season after season after season. Right? Death, taxes, and Antti Raanta is going to sustain some sort of injury. Honest to goodness.
I know.
It's so that's great. Ride them while you can. And then you're looking at Kochetkov. I mean, there's a reason that this team offered a PTO to Yaroslav Halak.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
You're not doing that if you're like, we got two good guys here. We're good. So it is a little bit of a concern because there's just not some cabinet of competent goaltenders sitting around the corner you can just pluck one out of.
No.
Like, nobody's trading their good goalies away.
No, they're not.
So maybe John Gibson eventually when the Anaheim goes down the tubes, as I expect them to. But that's not going to be for some time.
Please, Anaheim. So. Trade him. Trade him 10 years ago. You want to get me going on that again? No.
No, but he's one that maybe we're talking about being moved, but that's not until December or January, and there's a lot of hockey between now and then. So fingers crossed Raanta can stay healthy. Fingers crossed Kochetkov is more of the AHL player in the NHL this year than he was the NHL player to start the season because he looked pretty lousy. So let's just see how this goes, because otherwise Carolina's a good hockey team. This is a playoff team, but if they have big question marks in net, it could get very interesting very quickly.
45 goals for, 44 against. So the defense and the goaltending, that's an issue. The defense last season was offensively the best, I think, in the National Hockey League, which was great. But yeah, it's a tough go. Penguins on the road, very, 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 can I keep going? Very good.
They like California. Eh?
They do.
I think Sidney Crosby just wants to play every single game ever in California. So they have a losing record at home.
So when the contract's done, Sid's going to sign out in California. We'll see. No, he won't.
Can you imagine him not being a Penguin?
I can't see it.
So we're going to see, they're back to reality now. So they're back home, and I believe they're hosting the Sabres this weekend. So we're going to see if they can continue that great run that they had through California, because they really were quite good. And but now back home where they fared much worse. We'll see how they respond. We need to interject here because this also came in the last couple of hours. Jaromír Jágr.
Yes.
They are raising, finally, they are raising number 68 to the Raptors February 18th ahead of the game before the Kings. And I'm going to say, I have two things on this. I don't believe in retiring numbers in general. I just
Why?
Don't. Okay. Because we're going to run out of numbers, and I don't want to see three digits on the back of a jersey.
No, we're not going to run out of
numbers. You want to bet? Not in our lifetime, but in our kids, we will.
Okay.
It's just, it's a number. Raise the jersey, 100%. Absolutely put it up in the Raptors.
Raise it, but don't retire the number.
Don't retire the number. Some kid wants to wear 68 20 years from now. I have no issue with that.
I see where you are.
Jackie Robinson's number is the only number that I think should ever be retired.
Okay.
That's it. And it's bigger than sports, right?
Right.
Raise it. But if we are going to continue to retire numbers, his needs to be retired, right? So.
Hands down. He is one of and has been one of the best. Look, is he still playing?
I was going to say, what do you mean? What's this past tense?
No, sorry. I'm talking about the NHL.
He played last night.
Unbelievable. No, the guy is, he's a beast. I remember one story, one of many stories, but one story which hit me a long time ago when he was with Pittsburgh, came in with Lemieux, and they were just dynamite. after the first intermission of games, he would take off the chest protector and the elbow pads, and he would take the skates off, and he would ride the bike. He'd ride the bike for the 20 minutes, listen to the coach, put his stuff back on, and go back out on the ice. Testament to who he is and the character.
There was a great story I read, again, this is years ago, and he was just, Katie Baker wrote it.
Right.
I remember. And she visited him and his family back in his homeland. And his father, in his late age, was still running a farm. And Jaromir Jagr had told his parents, both of his parents were doing this, said, "Mom, Dad, I have a lot of money. Don't need to run this farm anymore.
Right. No,
I will take care of you. You can retire," because they were older. We're not talking in their 60s. Like, they were older.
Yeah.
And he said, my dad refused. And he said, "You won't let me swear on the show, so I won't." He said, "My dad loves that effing farm." And he said, "And that's the way that I love hockey." So Jaromir Jagr just can't not play. He will play.
No. Yeah.
Until he croaks.
Until he absolutely can't.
Oh, no, and he'll still play beer league. He will still play.
No,
he'll
I mean until level. Yeah.
And so like he physically cannot do it.
Yeah, yeah,
absolutely. And it's the same. And that obviously runs in the Jagr family, because his dad couldn't stop farming either. And it's a personality thing.
It's in the genes.
It's very much in the genes.
One of the best. The Senators, boy, they've had quite a last few weeks, quite a season. Had a good game against Toronto. I don't know if that's saying much, because it was against Toronto the other night. We know what happened with Pierre Dorion, the Shane Pinto suspension for gambling and all the money stuff and yada, yada, yada. But the injuries, a lot of people, a lot of teams going through injuries right now. But the defensive core with Ottawa, Thomas Chabot one, Brännström another. That was a terrible moment, too, when that hit happened. The fact Ottawa just needs to tread water here at this point, just to kind of maintain whatever they can do to try to get through this injury bug.
They were out without three of their six starting defenders.
That's crazy.
Artem Zub was also out. Now, he came back last night, so they got
They have three of the six. Those three better than the entire six of Toronto. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm not going to quite go. I'm not putting Brännström up there.
Okay, I'm just saying.
I have a lot of respect for Artem Zub as a defender. He's a great defender.
Yeah.
And Thomas Chabot is a very, very, very good defender.
Yes, he
is. So missing those, when you have half your defensive core go into the infirmary, it's going to be difficult, especially when you're a team like Ottawa and you don't have those many defensive forwards up front either who can play that type of game. So the fact that they are still hanging in there, we will see. We will see how this team manages once. I mean, Brännström is coming back shortly. I think it's the next game or two. Chabot, he's got the busted hand. So those things heal well. Once they're healed, they're healed. It's not like tearing ligaments and the other kooky stuff or things with your back. Like, once the fracture heals. And he should be in, again, at the end of November, early December. If they, again, Ryan, what you just said, if they can hang on.
That's all you got to do.
They can hang on. And they've got through the rough patch now of the off-ice stuff. So
we hope.
So let's see if they can concentrate, because they're a very fun hockey team. Again,
yeah, they are.
They're not a playoff contender, not yet, but they're a very fun hockey team. They've got some nice. Stützle is just a magician.
Yeah,
and
he is.
There's some other.
I like
Norris.
I like what Claude Giroux's doing. I really like what he's playing.
The
yeah.
way that those two play together,
yeah, chemistry.
Talk about what a great mesh.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You have the elder statesman. You got the younger kid, and it's working beautifully for them right now. So they do need to hang on. Just like the Lightning need to hang on.
Oh my gosh, yeah. But that's good. Hey, Vasilevsky, according to Cooper, may come back by American Thanksgiving.
And when they say that, you know it's going to be a little earlier.
Yes, yes,
because you
absolutely.
Don't disappoint your fans.
No, you
so
don't.
If it's American Thanksgiving, which is 2 weeks away from yesterday.
Yep.
So are we even thinking about maybe next weekend?
It's going to, no, don't push it. Don't push it. I know they need them, but 16 points. I know it's not the start that Tampa wanted. They're in third, I think, in the Atlantic. I think they're in third in the Atlantic. Detroit's
but
in second.
But it's been ugly recently.
I know it has. I know. Yeah. So it just goes to show you that as good as Tampa Bay has been, as great as they've been in the last number of seasons, winning cups, getting to cup finals, having the Stamkos, the Kucherovs, the Hedmans, the points, goes on and on and on. Andrei Vasilevsky is such a huge piece to that puzzle. It's
he absolutely
massive.
Is. And remember, we were talking about a little while ago, Jonas Johansson was doing a great job. And remember, he strung together those two shutouts?
Yes.
That feels like 3 months ago to me right now.
It was, wasn't it?
Because, and it was only a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
But he has been, he's giving up 4, 5, 6 a night.
Yeah.
So they do need, they need Vazzy back. So we'll see.
But don't
push it. I'm
going
to say next weekend. All right. Okay.
No, I'm going to say 2 weeks.
All right. You're saying American Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
I'm going to say next weekend.
Okay.
I'm writing it down. Okay.
Yeah. Didn't we write things down last year and we didn't even address them at the last show?
New year, Ryan. It's a new year. Okay. New season.
Moving on.
Fresh commitment.
The Flyers. You wrote down here, they're floundering. Take it away.
This is another quiet one. Yeah. They got off to such a good start.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, this is going to be great. Cam Atkinson is back. Sean Couturier is back. The Flyers are their presence, you know? They're not going to the playoffs, but they're more of a presence, and they're not. They've lost a lot more recently than they've won. Yeah. And again, they're turning into, some people pick them as the worst team in the NHL ahead of the season. Now, they're not that.
No.
They're not even quite close to it quite yet, but they're starting to look like that. And they're starting to look, I'm starting to check the schedule now, especially as a fantasy writer. I'm starting to check the schedule to see who is playing the Flyers next. Mm-hmm. And then the next one after that, because those are the forwards, the scoring forwards I'm going to look at, and the goaltender for some valuable fantasy points and offering my advice on newsstand.com.
I can tell you quickly, they've got Anaheim, then they have the Kings, and then the Carolina Hurricanes and the Golden Knights. Those are the next few games.
They are in so much trouble.
Yeah.
Do they win one of those?
Yeah. They win. They take it against, actually, they win one. They take it against the Canes. They'll beat the Canes next Wednesday.
They just lost to San Jose. They gave San Jose their first win of the season. They may go 4-0-4. They very much might.
Yeah. Maybe. We'll see. But hey, Edmonton gave San Jose their second win, so it happens.
And the Flyers are grateful for that, you know.
Yes. Yeah. They are so grateful. Oh my goodness. The Bruins, they're good. yeah. Next, that's all we need to say. I'm telling you, I did not think this was one of the teams I did not, and look, they're not, I'm not, okay, hold on. Are they going to get 135 points? Who knows? Maybe, but I didn't think so. You lose Krejci, Bergeron not back. I'm telling you, this team, Vic, is just constructed perfectly. The coach and I don't know, they just, every single night you expect them now to win. You really do. And when you do that, that means you're a really good hockey team.
I'm going to own this one. I didn't think that they're going to be nearly as good.
I didn't think
Bergeron
so either.
And Krejci.
I didn't think so either.
You can't fill those skates.
No.
Pavel Zacha and Charlie Coyle, who scored a hat trick last night,
yeah.
They can't fill those skates. How are they possible? And they have. And it's not that they have in particularly, but the team as a whole hasn't crumpled by losing their two best centers, which is quite something when you think about it.
Yeah.
This team, watching them, I'm not saying that they're not exciting. Because of course they are. All hockey's exciting. It's all fast and it's all strong and it's all very entertaining. But they are the most on-ice disciplined team out there in terms of the structure they play. I'm not talking about not taking penalties.
No.
Just they're so structurally sound. Ryan, they lost Charlie McAvoy, their top defender, for 4 games to a suspension and didn't even flinch.
Should have been more.
Okay, but another topic.
Right.
But didn't even flinch. How well is this team coached?
Oh, it's incredibly. Yeah, and I will say this. I know last year when Montgomery won the Jack Adams Award, which he deserved, the team was the best in the NHL over the 82 games.
You could not give it to him. We've talked about this.
I know.
There's probably more deserving coaches dealing with the personnel they had. But with that record, you can't.
There should be something. It should have gone to somebody else. My point is this season, you mentioned that Rick Tocchet is doing what he's doing in line for coach of the year. You got to give Jim Montgomery the nod as well, because nobody thought that Boston would be as good to begin this season as
losing
they are.
A generational talent like Patrice Bergeron.
It just
and
tells
going
you,
forward and having it, one regulation loss this much into the season.
It also tells
bananas.
You just, it also just tells you how well structured and how mature that team is. Just how, you know, we're not just talking about talent on the ice, actual team that know that they know their roles. They know what to do. They play within the system and they know they're good. And plus,
and
when
they
you brought,
like each other.
They
did
like
you
each
see
other.
Last night when Pasternak had the open net, the empty net at the end of the game, and he made the point even though it was the wrong hockey move, he made the point to get it back to Charlie Coyle so Coyle could have his very first hat trick in the NHL.
Okay, well, let me say this. If there was anybody else who didn't do that on any team, then shame on them. So good on Pasta, but you need, you, whoever had that puck should do that. Come on. You got a hat trick? You do that stuff. But I agree.
I suppose.
They do like each other. Okay, before we get the Hall of Fame, look ahead. We talked a little bit about some games. Boy, Edmonton, just going to say this again to repeat what we said. Their game coming up against the Kraken on Saturday. That is going to be the game that will keep Jay Woodcroft, or they will make a change. Because you cannot, Vic, you cannot go after this weekend. You can't go into Monday with the same head coach behind the bench if they lose. I know it stinks. I don't like to see it, but that's a huge one.
It's also
going to
keep
Edmonton.
Victoria up way past her bedtime.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't like those Seattle and the West Coast and all that
them.
Stuff. Yep.
I watched them.
Hey, we didn't talk about the Sabres, but they have a big weekend ahead.
They do. Yeah. I really like, they have an opportunity to make a little bit of hay. They're playing the Minnesota Wild, when we just talked about earlier, that are weak sauce defensively.
Can't keep the puck
the
out of the net.
And they're playing Pittsburgh back at home as well. And that feels like a come down game for the Penguins for me, just after all the fun out in California. So the Sabres could make a lot of hay, a lot of scoring hay this weekend. And keep your eyes out if you're a Sabres fan, or even if you're a hockey fan, there's a chance Matthew Savoy, which is one of their picks, might make his NHL debut. He earned a spot sort of on the team out of camp, and he got hurt really early. He got hurt in camp before the season started. So, but he's done his conditioning stint down in the AHL. And especially if Alex Tuch is hurt, there's a very good chance we might see him in the lineup. So that might be kind of entertaining.
I'm still big on Buffalo. I am. I'm still big on
Buffalo's
that team.
Buffalo's going to be fine. Yeah. I watch a lot of Buffalo. I think Buffalo is going to be just fine.
The Calgary Flames too quickly. They're a team that we talked about already, and they're into Toronto tonight. On Friday, and Nazem Kadri coming back, the Brad Tree Living story and all that type of jazz. But yeah, if they can just get through the weekend, get 4 points, because as we talked about, they've been playing much better hockey as of late, and they're getting production from, and you're right. I've been thinking about Kadri since you spoke about that he has that in his eyes, and he can take over a game when he wants to. He can. And I know he's going to be jazzed, extra jazzed for this weekend.
This could be a real launching pad for the Flames. If they do escape with four, I'll even say three. You lose one in overtime.
Three's fine.
That's still, if they lose to Toronto in overtime and then they beat the Senators, I think they're going to leave Ontario feeling pretty darn good about themselves.
Yeah, they will. If they lose to Toronto, it'll be 9-8.
We have to start taking the over.
We do, right?
Unless it's like 9.5. Even then, I think we probably cover
Even then, take the over. Yeah. Anyway, ton of games to come, and we'll be back early next week to break them all down and all that. Quickly, though, Hockey Hall of Fame. Always fun discussion about who's going in. Tom Barrasso, Ken Hitchcock, Pierre Lacroix, Henrik Lundqvist, Carolyn Ouellette, Pierre Turgeon, Mike Vernon. Good class. A lot of goalies in this class.
It's going to be a nice weekend for all involved in the city of Toronto. Congratulations to all of them. And if the committee gets it right, they're going to put Jennifer Botterill in next year. And that is all I ask.
Okay. So Victoria.
Alexander McGillney would be nice too, but I know that's probably not going
to
happen.
I'm just writing this down when I send a note to Lanny McDonald on the Hall of Fame. Yeah,
she should be
I'm
in
with
there.
You. Come on, Alex. Come on, McGillney. Chris Osgood should be in there too. Anyway, we'll, it's always, that's one of the points. After the Hall of Fame inductees are announced, well, who should be in? Who's going to get in the year after that? I always think too, and I'm talking too much, always think about if you're on the Hockey Hall of Fame ballot for so many years, and then you eventually get in, do you still feel it means something?
Yes.
Do you think it? You do?
Yes. So
I don't.
But players make it.
What if you're on 780? Okay, fine. We got to get him in. I don't know. Because to me,
I still think it feels pretty darn good.
Because to me, if you don't get in the first year, then why, like, if you get in the eighth, why not the first? Why not the second? I know there's a lot of other players, but I don't get it. Okay.
I think it depends on who the other candidates are.
I know. Topic for another day. This has been a lot of fun. We will be back in a few days. Enjoy the weekend. Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash. Follow us on Twitter at Ryan and Payton, at Victoria Matiash, and on Instagram too, PatesRP and Matiash Victoria. Catch us wherever you get your podcasts and on the SiriusXM app. We didn't miss a beat, Vic. And we'll continue the beat in a few days. Thanks for listening. Pucks and Seven. Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash.
This has been Pucks and Seven. Available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.